Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
If you normally take out your outline or follow that along online, don't bother. What I'm going to do is different than what's there. That's a really good sermon, by the way. One of my best. You'll just have to trust me on that. But we're going a different direction. I don't know how many of you can relate to me this morning. Relate to me in this: you love God. You want to do the right thing. You want to do what God asks you to do. You mess up. And then you ask for forgiveness. And then you do okay for a short time. And then you mess up again. And you find yourself back in that cycle. And you're sorry for what you did. And you really do want to do better. And you feel horrible about that thing, about that sin, about that mistake, about that bad choice that you made. You feel horrible about yourself internally. You're in agony. You don't want to do that. You don't want to be this way. And so you make some kind of promise to God. God, I promise I'm going to do better. God, I'm going to. And you fill in the blank as you make this promise to God. And you say, I'm not going to go back there again. I'm not going to drink that again. I'm not going to take that again. I'm not going to look at that again. And then something happens and you break your promise again. And so you determine that you're going to try harder. And that whole cycle just starts over and over again. I don't know if you can relate to me this morning in that. I don't know if you're like me in that. I'm afraid that for much of my life, I only understood half the gospel. I really got the half I understood. And that is that Jesus Christ died for me. And that in death, he paid the penalty for my sins. And I am forgiven. And I have the hope of eternal life with God forever. That is good news. And it is worth preaching. And I hope that you believe it, but it is only half of the gospel. The problem with only knowing half of the gospel is that once you get that, and it's all about Jesus and all that he has done, then what you're left with is what you are supposed to do. Jesus did his part. Now it's my turn to do my part. And what that means is that somehow I pull myself up by my bootstraps. Somehow I suck it up and I find the willpower. Somehow I do the things that I'm supposed to do and I stop doing the things that I'm not supposed to do. And that is where we find ourselves in that cycle that I started with. If you have your Bible, turn over to Colossians 3. If you have your phone, scroll over to Colossians 3. I want you to follow along with me for a minute. Things we're supposed to do and things we're not supposed to do as we live the Christian life. In Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to start in verse 5. Here is what is expected of you because Jesus has done what he came to do. What you need to do this week is you need to put to death the sinful earthly things that are lurking within you. That's what you need to go do this week. Put to death the sinful earthly things that are lurking within you. How are you doing with that? How are you doing with those sinful thoughts? With those sinful actions? With those thoughts that are just lurking within you, things you don't want to think, things you don't want anyone around you, especially your mama, to know that you are thinking. And you know the kind of things I'm talking about. Paul keeps going. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality. Have nothing to do with impurity. Nothing to do with lust. Nothing to do with evil desires. And you may say, well, okay, you know, I've got that part covered. Paul keeps going. And don't be greedy. Whew, that'll hit an American right between the eye. Don't be greedy. For a greedy person is an idolater. And do you know what God has to say about idolaters all through the Bible? Worshiping the things of this world. How you doing this morning, folks? How you doing with that? How you doing? You probably got some work to do. Amen? Well, you better. Because the next verse tells us what's coming. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. And there it is, guilt and fear right here in church. You better get it right because God is angry and He is going to judge. There's a reason you need to start doing better. Happy Mother's Day. Let's read verse 8. Because there's more. You need to get rid of anger. You need to get rid of rage. You need to get rid of malicious behavior, of slander, of dirty language. You need to stop lying to each other. And strip off the old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Now, there is a pretty comprehensive list of things that you want to and you need to stop doing. And so you start working on all that. But in the meantime, there's some things you need to start doing while you're working on stopping all those things. Verse 12, since God chose you to be holy people He loves, you must... First of all, there it is. You got to be holy. Clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy. Clothe yourself with kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. How you doing, folks? You wearing all those virtues this week? Don't get too cocky about it if you are, because humility was one of them. Verse 13, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Now, that is a full-time job for a Christian. You got to forgive anyone and everyone who offends you. And how many of you got offended by your wife or your husband this morning? Or maybe by your kids? Or by something you saw? Remember, here comes some more of that guilt. The Lord forgave you. So you better forgive others. Verse 14, above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. And so while you are working with all your might to stop doing all the things that you need to stop doing, and while you're working to start doing all the things you need to start doing, do it with love and peace. And that means don't have any stress. Don't have any worries. Don't have any anxieties. Don't have any sleepless nights. Just go through life with peace and love, doing all the things you're supposed to do and not doing all the things you're not supposed to do. There's more. And in all things, be thankful. No griping, no complaining, no wishing it was different. Be thankful in all things, in everything. Be thankful. Whatever happens, whenever it happens, however it happens, the first thing that comes to your mind is thanksgiving. Anybody up for this? Up to living the Christian life? There's more. Verse 16, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. You need to be talking about Jesus. teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. You need to be able to give rich wisdom, nuggets of wisdom to folks that you can help along the way. And then sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. While you're doing all this, be joyful, be happy, have a song in your heart. And then the last verse is the clincher that we're going to read. Verse 17. If we've left anything out, if there's anything that hasn't been covered, here it is. Whatever you do or whatever you say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So if we left anything out, it's covered in verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all 100% of it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's what we preachers put on you a lot of the time when we only preach half of the gospel. Live up to God's standards. Be like Jesus, because that's really the point. And we see that in verse 10. I skipped over it on purpose. Put on your new nature. Be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Somehow, folks, because of what Jesus has done for you, you need to be like Him. And you need to stop all these things and start all these things and do it with the right attitude and sing a song while you're doing it. And that's a pretty tall order. Amen? That's a pretty high standard. And they call it a Christian life for a reason, because only one man ever did it, and so they named it after him. But as for you and me, as we've already been contemplating this morning, and as we all know in our hearts and minds, it's impossible. It's not just hard, it's not just difficult. It's impossible. Which is why it is so important that we preach the whole gospel and that we get the whole gospel. That we understand not just half of the gospel, but the whole gospel. And we have been in a series since Easter on the Holy Spirit. And last week I shared with you, as we talked about the Spirit in Jesus. We had talked about the Spirit in the Old Testament. Last week we talked about the Spirit in Jesus. And I shared something with you. I said something at the end of the sermon that for me was a really deep and in some ways new understanding and revelation. In fact, one of our members came to me afterwards. He said, "Ken, if what you said today is true, it's a game changer." And it is. He's right. What I said last week as we looked at the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus is this, that Jesus, in his love for us, did the unthinkable. Paul writes about it in Philippians chapter 2. Jesus, who was God from the beginning, before the beginning of time. Jesus, who was equal with God. Jesus put off his godly nature. He did not hold on to it, but he gave it up and he became a man and he came here to earth to live among us. And you know that. That's not new. You know that. But the conclusion that I've come to in studying about the Holy Spirit in Jesus is this, that Jesus did that not just so that he would die, so he could be like us and so that he would die, but Jesus also did that so he could show us how it is done. So he could show us that it can be done. That he became like us to show us a life that pleases God. How a person could do and could not do all the things we just read in Colossians. Jesus put off his divine nature. He became a man and God filled him with the Holy Spirit. We looked at that in depth last week. God filled him with the Holy Spirit. And scripture is very clear that Jesus did the things he did in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now he could have done it on his own. Please hear me say that. He was God. He could have done it on his own. The incredible, unthinkable thing is he emptied himself of it. He emptied himself of it. And when he emptied himself, God filled him. That's important to remember. When he emptied himself, God filled him. He filled him with his Holy Spirit. And I really do believe one of the reasons was to show us this is how you live this life, this Christian life, this life that pleases God. It is not, it cannot be. We all know it cannot be through our own power. It cannot be through our own determination. It cannot be through our own will. It can only be done, and Jesus showed us it could be done with the Holy Spirit in our lives. He's real. He's a person. He's alive. He's at work. And that is the rest of the gospel. It starts with Jesus on the cross, but it finishes with Jesus in you. And God did for you what you could not do for yourself. He gave his only son as a payment for your sin. His death made peace with God for you and for me. And that is the first half of the gospel. The second half is this. He then gave me and you through the Holy Spirit, the very person of his perfect son, Jesus Christ, to live his life in me and in you. That's the second half of the gospel. The first half assures me that if I die today, I can be with God in eternity. The second half assures me that if I don't die today, he is with me. And on Monday, I have the risen Lord Jesus Christ in me, living life that pleases God. And that's how you get it done. Colossians had really strong language. Impossible. We started in verse 5. Now go back to verse 3. Because we're getting to the good news. For you died in this life. Part of that we witnessed this morning. There's a lot of ways we die. That's part of how you die in this life. For you died in this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. That's what Paul says before he lists all those things that preachers too often use to put guilt and trepidation and fear in you and tell you to go get it done. What Paul says even before he gets there is you died. Your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And then if we jump over to the first chapter of Colossians, Paul has been saying this. This is a consistent thing for him. Down in verse 25, if you're following in Colossians chapter 1, Paul says, God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming what? His entire message, the full gospel. Verse 26, this message was kept secret for centuries and generations past. But now it has been revealed to God's people. As we saw a few weeks ago, the folks in the Old Testament did not know what we're talking about today. Moses didn't know it. David didn't know it. Daniel didn't know it. The prophets didn't know it. They longed to look into it, but were not able to. They did not know this good news. But God has made it known to you and to me. Verse 27, and this is the secret. Christ lives in you. And this gives you assurance of sharing in his glory. Not only his death, which saves you, but his life that is in you. And it's grace in both directions. Do you hear it? This mystery, this secret, Christ lives in you. And I want to give you a visual illustration of that life this morning. Can you see that? What do you see? Look a little closer. What do you see? Can you see you in there? This is a picture of our life. This is a picture of our life without the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in sin. This is you. We are in sin. We're surrounded by it. It's permeating the air we breathe, the atmosphere we live in. We live in a sinful world. We're surrounded by sin, but it's worse than that. Because in you is sin. And every one of us knows it. We know what's in our minds. We know what's in our hearts. We know what's in our secret thoughts. Every one of us, without Christ, in you is sin. You're in a pretty dire predicament if you are living your life without Jesus Christ. Because you have sin in you, and you're in sin. Now, there's an answer to that. There's hope in that, for that. We've talked about it already this morning. It's that first half of the gospel. Jesus will save you. He wants to save you. He has done the work. He's just ready for you to come to Him. But here's the problem for those of us who have, and who just haven't really grasped the whole gospel, is we still live like this. We still live like this. We still live like sin is in us and like we're in sin. And we think that that's normal and the way it's supposed to be. And we think that the Christian life really is just supposed to be where you muddle through and you have some good days and you have some bad days and you mess up and you repent and you mess up again and you promise and you break your promise. But that's not the whole gospel. Let's walk through the whole gospel. Because Jesus died for you. And when He did, He took away your sin. So what that means is you before Jesus and you after Jesus. Do you believe that? Some of you are right there. Really, I'm with you. Some of you right now are saying, yeah, but I don't think so, Ken. Or that's not reality, Ken. Or are you sure about that, Ken? Because that really is pretty good news, but it doesn't really always match up with my life. But I'm telling you, the Bible says that when Jesus saves you, He washes your sins away. And they're gone. And you're not living in sin anymore. But Jesus does not leave you on your own. And that's what too many of us think. That's how too many of us live. That's when we don't get the full gospel. He doesn't leave us on our own. Do you know what He does? Everything we read just then, it said it over and over. It says it in so many other passages. We learned it in Romans chapter 8. We've been talking about it with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus saves you, it's the promises that He started making back in Isaiah and back in Ezekiel that we've been looking at, that there is coming a day when He is going to pour out His Holy Spirit on all His people, and He is going to write His law on their hearts, and He's going to give them new hearts. And Jesus saves you, and then He makes residence in your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody else better say it at some point today. He lives in you. Christ comes to dwell in you. The one who emptied Himself so that He could be filled and showed us how you live a life that pleases God comes to live inside of you. That's such good news. That is incredible news. That is the full gospel. That is the hope of glory. And Paul even says in Colossians 1:28 that he's preaching this good news so that when the day comes, that day of judgment that we talked about a minute ago, when that day comes, do you know what Paul says? You are going to be presented to God as perfect. It's unfathomable. I don't understand it. I believe it. I am choosing to believe it. I am putting all my hope in it that I do not want to go before God like this. I want to go to God like this. And He will receive me as perfect. But not only is the passage say that Christ is in you, the passage also says that you are in Christ. We need to do a little more work here. Because we got Christ in us. And Ephesians says, when we do, hope this will work. Well, this is what you get for trying to use something like this. We are, do you know what I'm doing? We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Christ in you, you in Christ. Sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's good news. That's the full gospel. That's the whole gospel. That's the gospel that will carry you through day after day after day. You are in Christ. Christ is in you. You are sealed with Christ. So let me ask you again. Can you see you? Yeah, you can see you. But what do you see more than you? Say it out loud again. What do you see more than you? Where is he? He's in you. Where are you? You're in him. It gets even better. It's hard to believe, but it gets even better. Because one of the verses we read said that you died and your life is now hidden with Christ. You know where it's hidden with Christ? In God. Can you see you? It's getting harder, isn't it? That's the way it's supposed to be. Less of you, more of him. Less of me, more of him. Christ in me. I'm in Christ, with Christ. We are hidden in God. That is the whole gospel. And it is grace from one end of it to the other. It is by grace that you have been saved through your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who did the work. He's the one who came down. He's the one who emptied himself. He's the one who God filled. He's the one who lived a perfect, righteous life. He's the one who never sinned, and yet he's the one who took your sin and gave you his righteousness. All grace. But here's the rest of the truth. As you live every day from then until he comes or until you die, it's still all grace. Because he who lived that kind of life has come to live in you to keep living that kind of life. And he's helping you and he's empowering you. The Holy Spirit is real. Jesus Christ is real. When we say he is alive, we think about him in heaven at the throne of God. And the Bible says that he's there, but it also says he's right here and he's right there. That's the good news. That's your hope of glory. That really is the way. Do you remember that Romans 8 said that with the help of the Spirit, we actually could begin to say no to sin? It really is true. We can begin to say no to sin. Now, we're still in there, and there's still residual from our raising and from sins that we've committed. And maybe the more we're learning some of the ways that we're wired. But you know, Christ is in you. And from the inside out, he is changing you. And you really can begin to say no to sin. It really is possible to quit just muddling through. It really is possible to live a triumphant, victorious life in Jesus Christ, being led by the Holy Spirit with Christ in you and you in Christ and hidden all together in God. And I hope there is somebody here this morning who wants that kind of life. I hope there is somebody here this morning who has never known Christ, who is living in sin, and who today decides, you know what, I'm done with that and I want to be saved. I want Jesus to come into my life. I want him to get rid of my sin. I want to go to heaven. I hope there's somebody here this morning who's ready to do that. And we're going to sing a song in just a few minutes, and you're going to have the chance to do what Jerry did this morning. But I also hope there's some of you who've been living for years or decades and struggling and muddling through and going through that vicious cycle that we talked about. And I hope there's some of you who are ready to say today, no, I'm going to believe in the rest of the gospel. And we're going to talk, I think it's going to be next week. I'm not promising you. No, it's not, because that is Senior Sunday. I think it's going to be the next week. We're going to begin to talk. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about needing and wanting more of Him. And here's the illustration. We're going to start talking about how you do that, how that happens. How do you really practically start living this life with Jesus in you, you in Jesus, hidden in God? It's possible. Not say it's possible. And we're going to start talking about how to do that. So I hope there's some of you this morning who are ready for that. And you're ready just to say, you know what, I believe that. I'm going to start walking in that. I'm going to start experiencing that. Later in the fall, we're even going to be offering some things that are going to be really practical help on how to do that. Some of us have already kind of experienced some of that and gone through some of that. And we're going to share it with you. I don't have the secret. Jesus has the secret. Paul has the secret. God has made the secret known. It's available to everybody. So I'm not trying to paint some picture of, oh, Ken knows something nobody else knows. But I am telling you, it's possible. What the Bible says about walking with Christ is possible. And it's the hope of glory. Christ in you. You in Christ. Hidden in God. We're going to sing a song that says basically that. Christ all around you. As we sing the song, just imagine the reality of that statement. Christ all around you. He's underneath you. He's on top of you. He's all around you. I'm going to be in the back. I invite you to respond in some way this morning. Again, maybe your day to give your life to Christ. Maybe your day to say, I'm ready to walk in this. I'm ready. Let's go. Let's do this. Maybe that you respond right there in your seat as you pray to God, but it may be that you come to the back. Whatever it is, let's sing Christ all around us.
Please stand.